When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Amen. God's word before us tonight comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. We'll be looking at chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. In the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 194. Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 15, God is speaking to Moses, and then Moses to the people of Israel. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." The Lord said to me, "What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." These are God's words. Let's pray. Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. Amen. Mohammed, Nostradamus, Jim Jones, Joseph Smith. All names of individuals who certain people have looked to as prophets, but everything they spoke was false. You know the names of other prophets, names like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and John, and you know that everything they spoke was the truth. In our modern, rational, scientific age, many dismiss prophecy as being somewhat backwards and naive. Yet there is in all of us a part that yearns for prophecy, a part that longs to hear a voice of the divine, a voice of hope, a voice of promise. We see this longing expressed in fantasy, mythology, and science fiction today. Those of you who are familiar with Star Wars know that it's all about the prophecy of the one who will bring some balance to the Force. Now, sad to say, some fulfill this longing for prophecy by searching the stars for their horoscope. Others lose themselves in scientific advancement and technology, and then there are those who look to charismatic leaders. And yet there is only one who truly will satisfy this longing within us. Only one voice of hope and promise that will not fail. Only one voice that can touch us with the divine. He's the prophet. The one who's prophesied by God through the prophet Moses in our text tonight. In our midweek Advent meditations this year, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. We're going to look at the threefold office of God's Son, prophet, priest, and king. And we're going to look at correlating feasts or festivals in the Old Testament that reveal God's glory. So tonight I invite you to see God's glory in the prophet. This prophet is your mediator. This prophet is your brother. This prophet is the truth. 40 years before the events of our text took place, as the Israelites made their way from their slavery in Egypt to the promised land in Palestine, they camped at the foot of Mount Sinai in our text tonight called Horeb. God came down on the mountain with fire and smoke and thunder and lightning. The ground trembled all around the Israelites, and God said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Then began the Ten Commandments, one by one, you shall have no other gods before me, all the way through to 10. As kind of a side note here, from the time of the temple's destruction in Jerusalem, the Jewish people have commemorated this giving of the law by God with the festival of Pentecost. And this celebration includes the offering up of their first fruits to God. So today, in the Jewish faith, Pentecost is considered their thanksgiving. Moses tells us that on that day, when the people heard this voice of God coming from the mountain, they cried out to Moses, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The words of God's law had pierced them to the heart and core of their being. They understood that even the best they could offer God was still something covered with their sin. They knew that only death and hell awaited them. But, I just love that word, but, when it contrasts the law. God in his mercy and grace promised them a mediator, an intercessor, a go-between. God said to Moses, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. This prophet would go between the holy God and the naked sinner. Listen to him. Why? Because you and I are no better than those Israelites some 3,500 years ago who stood at the foot of Mount Sinai. It's so easy for us today to ignore God's will and the consuming fire of his anger because we don't feel the ground trembling all around us. We can easily dull our consciences by convincing ourselves that we don't have to take God all that seriously. We can dress up our sins with excuses like, I tried my best. I couldn't help myself. Well, look at him. Look at her. I'm certainly doing better than them. And yet you know, and I know, that all this excuse giving is nothing more than an attempt to close our eyes to the reality of our sin. You are a lawbreaker. I am a lawbreaker. For God says, everyone who sins breaks the law. And God knows it. Who will be our mediator? Who will be our intercessor? Who will speak for us before the almighty and all-consuming fire of God's law? The prophet goes between you and me in the all-consuming fire of God's law. The prophet stands as the oven door of God's burning anger comes pushing out of the oven and would burn us if he didn't go to the cross to suffer and die for our sins. And as a result of what the prophet does, you and I are now covered with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. We have his perfect righteousness covering our naked sinfulness so that God can say, not guilty, justified. You stand holy and right in my sight. in this prophet, and because of this prophet, you and I are redeemed and restored and forgiven. Listen to him, because he is your mediator. Believe his words, and you will be saved. But how could he, the holy, the righteous Son of God, suffer and die? It's because the holy and righteous Son of God became our human brother, making him what we call the God-man. Martin Luther expressed this so beautifully in his explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed when he wrote, "I believe that he, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord." Just as God had promised, this prophet came from among the Israelite people. He was born to the Virgin Mary. He came from the house of David. He belonged to the tribe of Judah. He was a prophet much like the other prophets, but he was a prophet much greater than they were. While this prophet, Moses, was different than all the other prophets in that God looked at him face to face, the Bible says, the first prophet, Moses, was never able to look into the glory of God's face and live. And yet of the prophet prophesied in our text, this is what John says. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This greater prophet, who is holy and righteous and eternal and all-knowing, chose to become our brother. Like us in every way, yet he did not sin. He was born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. This is so important for our understanding and appreciation of what the prophet has done. Because he is our human brother, he could be subject to God's law, as you and I are. But because he is also God, he could keep all of God's law perfectly for us. Because he is our human brother, he could suffer and die, as all of us do. But because he is also true God, by his suffering and death, he could pay for all of our sins. God's plan of salvation required a God-man, one who would be under God's law and yet keep God's law, one who would suffer and die and yet by that death pay for all of our sins. And it was the prophet, prophesied by Moses, who fulfilled God's marvelous plan for our salvation. Listen to this prophet. For he is your brother. Believe his words and promises, and you will be saved. Finally, this prophet is the truth. God makes it clear that the second prophet, the greater prophet, would say only what he wants him to say. For Moses quotes God in our text and says, "I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name." The greater prophet is like any other prophet. Not only does he speak the truth, he is the truth. He once said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He not only proclaims God's message, he is God's message. For of him John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This prophet not only makes promises, but in him, all of God's promises are fulfilled. For the Apostle Paul once wrote, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in him. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Listen to this prophet, for he is the truth. Believe the promises he makes to you. Believe the promise he makes you in holy baptism, that all of your sins are washed away and God puts his family name on you. He adopts you into his family. Believe the promise he makes you in Holy Communion, that you are forgiven and drawn closer to God every time you come and eat the real body and real blood of this prophet, together with ordinary common bread and wine. Believe the promise he makes you every time you spend some time with him in his word, that God will grow you in your faith and in your understanding of his rich and abundant love for you. Believe his words and promises and be saved. Don't settle for imitations. Don't try to satisfy your longing for prophecy in all the ways the world suggests. You know this prophet by name. I haven't mentioned it once in this sermon unless I slipped up and did it. But you know his name. His name is Jesus. And his title is Christ. He is Jesus Christ, your God, your Lord, your Savior, your prophet. It's his birth that we'll celebrate in a few short weeks. My friends, this prophet is your mediator. He's your brother. He's the truth. See God's glory in the prophet. Believe his words, trust his promises, and you will be saved.